Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The first volume included the A's, for instance, Adam's house cat. Zydeco is the last word, in between 60,000 other words and phrases that Americans use. The fifth volume of the Dictionary of American Regional English is officially out today, so to celebrate, let's pour a snit of beer into that whimmy-diddle, stop your riftin', get the jags out of your leaders, and welcome from Wisconsin Public Radio in Madison, Joan Houston Hall, Chief Editor of the Dictionary of American Regional English, or DARE, as they call it. Joan, hi, or since you're in Wisconsin, yahe.
Thank you very much.
You know, I have an uncle and aunt in Wisconsin. I don't think I've ever heard them say yahe. Is that a regionalism?
Yes, it's characteristic of this area.
Well, what's fun. I mentioned a few others. Let's just go through them. Snit, whimmy diddle, jags, leaders. Define and locate, please.
A snit is a small glass of beer. It's a chiefly Wisconsin expression, and it comes, of course, one might think, from the German, a schnitt.
Yep. Whimmy diddle?
A whimmy diddle can be a thingamajig, but in the Appalachians, it's also a child's toy. It has two sticks, a propeller on one, and you rub the two sticks together, and it makes the propeller move.
And I mentioned some other things. Now, our listeners in the South might recognize Adam's house cat.
Yes. If you don't know somebody, you might say, I wouldn't know him from Adam. Well, people all over the country say that. But west of the Appalachians, many people also say, I wouldn't know him from Adam's off ox. But in the Gulf States, many people say, I wouldn't know him from Adam's house cat.
Oh, I'm loving this stuff. We mentioned there were several volumes. How do you locate these regionalisms?
Between 1965 and 70, we sent 80 field workers out to 1,002 communities across the country and found people who had lived there all their lives and asked them the questions in a huge questionnaire. These questions had to do with things like time and weather and food and clothing and farming and also more personal things like honesty and dishonesty, courtship, religion, health, disease. And we were able to create a map that represents where these people live, and we can ask the computer program to pull up all the examples, for instance, of Adam's house cat. And lo and behold, they're all in the Gulf States. So we know right away that a particular word or phrase is regional.
You mentioned the map, this online map. The dictionary I'm sitting next to is huge, and it reads just like a dictionary does. But you have this online thing. And first we want to ask, how do you map the country? Because there's a line separating the North and the Midlands. It's sort of like the archaeology of dialect. How do you divide the country?
Well, traditionally, linguistic geographers have talked in terms of northern, North Midland, South Midland, and southern regions going in parallel bands from east to west. In Pennsylvania, for instance, there was a lot of population by what are called the Pennsylvania Germans, but there were also lots of Scots. So in the region that we call North Midland, for instance, there are words like to red up a room, meaning to clean it up, but also grammatical bits such as, oh, my hair needs washed. Mm-hmm. And that particular construction has moved in a westward band all the way to the West Coast. And people who don't use that think, oh, what a weird construction. But all they need to do is go back to the Scottish National Dictionary and realize that that's where it came from.
Huh. It's fascinating. And as you mentioned at your website, which we'll link people to at hereandnow.org, there's this great pull-down window. You can pick a state, and then there will be a paragraph filled with regionalisms from that state. And so I'm just going to pick one because I believe you. It's just that my sister lives in Pennsylvania. I've never heard her say one of these words. So let's go through it. Here's the paragraph in Pennsylvania. Lighting a barn burner near a doodle is never a good idea, whether or not there's a mo-hole nearby to use as an escape route. You might suspect a Elbedritch of trying such a thing, though. When planning a horning, try to find a way to keep people from playing Hassenpfeffer or drinking Ratgut, at the very least. Get someone to make a kutchen and arrange for a skimmleton. No one should be snoopy about what is offered. So let's go back over here. A barn burner near a doodle.
A barn burner is a match. It's the kind you can strike anywhere.
A doodle?
And a doodle is a haystack, a small pile of hay.
Mohaw?
That's a mow hole.
Oh, mow hole.
The mow is where you put the hay, and the mow hole is where you throw it down into the barn.
Okay, every farmer in Pennsylvania is now laughing at me. But going through, elbedritch. You might suspect an elbedritch of trying such a thing.
Yeah, an elbedritch is a part of the German folklore, a creature who plays tricks on folks.
Well, here's one from Montana. Last week, he hosted a pitch-in dinner with guests from all over, including his friend the Lamblicker.
Okay, a pitch-in dinner is a potluck.
Oh, sure.
And what's interesting is that our map shows every response coming from Indiana. But when we looked through newspaper archives, we found quite a number also in Montana. And I don't know whether that reflects migration of people from Indiana to Montana or not, but I suspect so because that's a very weird distribution.
And a lamblicker, we understand, is a sheep herder or a rancher. Some of our listeners out in Montana can tell us if that's true. Well, words migrate, and also the flip side of that is that people have different words for the same thing. So I want to look at that for a second because let's say, here we might call them a dust bunny, you know, that fuzz under the bed. What are other regionalisms?
Well as dust bunnies, we have dust kitties and dust pussies and dust mice, but also some fanciful things like house moths.
That's in the South, right?
Yes, and things like moots and woozies and cussywops.
I love ghost manure. Whoever out there calls it ghost manure. And, it's fun, it's sense of place and pride, but it also is important scholarly work because you say, for instance, a doctor might use the book.
Yes, in your setup, you said, what do you do if somebody says he's riftin' and has jags in his leaders? Well, actually, this came to us in an email from a doctor who said he had grown up in Maine and found himself posted to Western Pennsylvania for his first job, and a patient came in and said that. He was nonplussed, but he discovered rather quickly that in Western Pennsylvania, to rift means to burp or to belch. And to have jags in your leaders means to have sharp pains in the tendons, specifically the tendons in the front of your neck. There are hundreds, if not more, words for regional and folk and archaic terms for ailments and diseases in deer. So if the doctor hears, "Doc, I've got dew poison."
Dew poison?
Dew poison? It's a kind of a rash in the bottoms of the feet, and it's assumed that you get it by walking barefoot early in the morning when the dew is on the grass. It may be the result of a parasitic infection, but when you first hear it and don't know it, you don't even know that you've got to examine the person's foot.
Fascinating. Give me just a couple of your favorites, just of the words in general of all the volumes.
Well, from this volume, one of my favorites is from Maine, and it's the Willywags. Around the country, if you're talking about somebody who lives in a remote place, you might say he's from the sticks or he's from the boonies. If you're in California, you could say he's from the Tulies. If you're from southern New Jersey and Philadelphia, you could say, he lives out in East Jibib. But if you're in Maine, you might say he lives in the Willywags.
Which is sort of a linguistic cousin to the Winklehawk. A three-cornered tear in cloth that's chiefly said in the Hudson River Valley.
Because it's Dutch.
My people. What fun. Joan Houston Hall, chief editor of the Dictionary of American Regional English, Volume 5, now out. For a link to a quiz on your knowledge of regional words and phrases. By the way, if you live in New Hampshire, do you know what it means to G-buck? Tell us if you do. You can also see a map of how the country divides along word choices and listen to samples of regional accents. Just go to hereandnow.org. Joan, thanks so much.
You're welcome.